Into our second hour, welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. What's up? What's cracking? Nice to have you here. All right, if you missed hour number one, we covered a lot of ground. Lots to get to in the second hour. Quick heads up, I'm not in tomorrow, and I'm not in Monday. The extended holiday weekend. Listen, I'm not taking any vacation time yet this year. I've had one day, and I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm just trying to explain to you, if I don't take it, if I don't use it, I lose it. I got to start using it. So I've got a day off tomorrow. I've got a day off on Monday, which means if you want to hit me up on something directly, you want to do it right now. Third hour is a busy hour. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. In that third hour, Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin at the very top. We're going to chase that with a conversation with Chad Millman. He's the head of media for the Action Network. We'll talk to him about this recent Supreme Court ruling, which is going to legalize gambling. We'll find out when it's going to be legal in your state, what that means to how we're going to watch the games, how we participate, how we cover the games. Chad Millman joins me in hour number three. You have your telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I want to talk about the anthem, what the NFL has decided to do. If you want to jump in and tell me whether or not you think that's right or wrong, did the NFL finally get it right? Did the NFL take all this time and get it all wrong? We'll get into that a little bit later on. Let me start this hour off with an email. Dear Rome, here we are. I'm out at my third Rome show. And we're talking about these idiot clones who got liquored up, ran their mouths off about my forehead. What's sports radio world come to? They've ruined this show for me. Alvin and Hawk are great guys, but they're getting killed all week because they work with a guy who's got a five head. When I get back to the landing strip, I'll deal with it. It's kind of funny if you think about it. The sad thing is, Rome, that these guys are good emailers and tweeters. They're just idiots. They're just idiots. Signed, James Kelly. Tyler in Charlotte. And Tyler, you did a better job than I did. I did my best. But again, Tyler, I can't hear anything at all right now. My head's totally jacked and congested. So I couldn't follow along. I see you working, Ty. I see what you tried to do.
Totally trashed.
Totally trashed. Can you name that voice? Can you name the guy responsible for saying, totally trashed? Tyler and Charlotte sent the James Kelly email. James Kelly is in the house. Pinky the Squatter is in the house. Why is that? It's Friday. Oh, it's not Friday. Today's not to Friday. You, it's not. To me, it is. I'm not here tomorrow. JK comes out on Fridays. He's not coming in if I'm not here. He's here today. And if you want to see a picture of him getting makeup for his forehead, go to my Twitter feed. It's amazing. The flight deck. Squatter. Omaha. Cut that meat. I should have hashtagged to cut that meat. I forgot that. All right, so there are bad nights. There are bad nights, and there are worse nights. And then there are Lenny Dykstra nights. Where do you start with Lenny? This guy's incredible. I mean, the same dude who filed for bankruptcy fraud in 2012 allegedly trashed a Hamptons hotel just last year, is now the same dude that spawned this headline yesterday. Quote, Lenny Dykstra, arrested after Uber driver, who he threatened to kill, drove to police station. That's an all-timer. And maybe it's just me, but I never want somebody throwing my handle into a search engine and having a headline like that kick back out. Something about making death threats to Uber drivers does not read very well. And the story that goes with that banner headline is even worse than the headline itself. Especially if it's true. Because apparently Lenny D piled into a New Jersey Uber vehicle around 3:30 a.m. yesterday morning. Let me just stop right there for a minute. I digress. I mean, if you're an Uber driver, you know who's asking for the ride, right? If you see Lenny D wanting to get into your car at 3:30 in the morning, I understand that you're driving because you want to make money. That's great. I love Uber. I use it. I love it. I love people who do it. It's a great way to get your side hustle on. But damn, if you see Lenny show up on your iPhone at 3:30 in the morning, are you really going to take that? This guy did, and it was the biggest mistake of his life. Because at some point during that ride, Lenny decided that he wanted to switch up. And according to reports, the driver was not having any of that. So Lenny reacted the way that we knew Lenny would. The way that none of us would have. By threatening this dude's life, reportedly. Because isn't that the normal response in that situation? Hey, can you take me here instead? Actually, sir, no, I cannot. Oh, really? I'll kill you. You want that? I'll kill you dead. You want that? That's what I thought. Take me there. Well, I'll take you there, all right. Hey, this isn't the route. Hey, you're taking me to the police station. Right. You threatened to kill me. I mean, you got a dude in the backseat of your car, ready to end you. So what is your next move? Your next move probably was not as brilliant as this guy's, because that's exactly what he did. This Uber driver went straight for the local police station and frantically laid on his horn as soon as he busted into the parking lot. That is such a heady play. That is so strong. Why wait for the cops when you can go to the cops? I mean, what would Lenny know? It's 3:30 in the morning. The guy's got to be out of his mind, right? But that's where things got a little sketchy. The driver told police that Lenny pulled a piece on him. But when the cops searched the rig, they did not find a gun. However, there were some consolation prizes. Tree, blow, and some moon rocks on Lenny. It's a hell of a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning cocktail. Hell of a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning cocktail, right? That cocktail consisting of weed, coke, and some Molly for good measure. I'll say this. Clearly, my man did not get to the Molly part of his night if he was threatening to ice the driver. Because if this dude really was rolling face, he probably would have been way too busy caressing the seat cushions instead of shouting death threats, allegedly. So, gun or no gun, the cops still booked a 12-year MLB vet on making terroristic threats and on numerous drug possession charges. That according to TMZ. Now, I'd love to say that that's where this story ends, because believe me, there's more than enough story right there, but that's not how that story ends. There's more. Dykstra is out on a summons to appear, and he's already talking, and he's already tweeting. It took about 5 minutes for him to get to his phone. According to the Daily News, quote, "The driver went nuclear on me. He bleeping kidnapped me and almost killed me going 100 miles per hour. He locked me in his bleeping car and he wouldn't let me out," end quote. It's absolutely amazing. All right, so which one of these stories is true? Somebody's lying out their ass. Either the driver who said that Dykstra pulled a gun on him, or Dykstra who said that the driver kidnapped him and locked him in his car and wouldn't let him out. You tell me which sounds more feasible. Which sounds more realistic? Which sounds more reasonable? Is there any Uber driver anywhere that would want to kidnap Lenny and not let him out of the car? Wouldn't you be hoping that guy got out of that car as fast as possible? So the reporter of the Daily News also asked Dykstra if he'd been arrested. Dykstra responded with, quote, "No, dude. It's just another day in the life of Lenny Dykstra." I don't know what's better, him hitting the reporter with dude or him going third person after hitting him with dude. Lenny hits everybody with dude. That's the way he's always been. "No, dude. It's another day in the life of Lenny Dykstra." "No, dude." Like, dude.
No.
He denied being arrested. Broham, you weren't arrested. Then why was your mugger plastered all over every screen that I've been looking at for the past 24 hours if you were not arrested? Cops do not take mugshots of citizens who are not arrested. As it being just another day in the life of Lenny D? Yeah, I guess. If getting arrested for threatening to kill an Uber driver is just another Wednesday for you, Lenny, then yeah, I guess it is just another day. I mentioned Twitter. Leave it to him to thumb this out yesterday. Quote, "But I keep cruising. Can't stop. Won't stop moving. It's like I've got this music in my mind saying, it's going to be all right." Wait a minute. I think I've heard that. "But I keep cruising, can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying, it's going to be all right."
It's like a song, right? I've heard that song. I know that song. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind. Singing, it's gonna be all right. That's what dude went with after that night. Dude just went Swifty on all of us and all of Twitter. Legit just quoted Taylor Swift as a mantra to get him through an arrest where he threatened to kill an Uber driver and was holding Toot, Kron, and X. Yeah, I'm sure that's why she wrote those lyrics with you in mind, Len. But then again, maybe she didn't. Because who the hell could imagine anybody having the kind of night you just had, allegedly? Kind of a soft spot in my heart. Or at least I used to. At least I used to, until recent years, to hear all those stories about Lenny. Hey, Lenny, my man, get the help you need. Get the help you need. You need a lot of help. Get well, dude. Dude, get well. Get well. Stay well. Get the help you need. For your sake and everybody else's sake. For your sake, for every Uber driver's sake, for all of our sake. My man, get the help you need. I have not spoke to him since 2013 when he appeared on Jim Rome on Showtime. And Lenny sat down and he and I had a crazy conversation that night.
You were charged with grand theft auto, drug possession, indecent exposure, and bankruptcy fraud. Lenny, at one point you were looking at a possibility of 20 years in prison. It's a pretty terrifying prospect.
I mean, for selling my own furniture. The bottom line is I was in there next to Conrad Murray, the guy that killed Michael Jackson.
What about 2 years? Well, I mean, what about the indecent exposure and the drug possession? That's not selling your furniture.
Indecent exposure is bullshit.
Is it?
Yeah.
What about the drug possession?
Bullshit. That's why I didn't get charged.
But how long were you in jail?
2 years.
You think they put you in jail 2 years for selling your furniture?
Yeah, for bankruptcy fraud.
All these other things are just bullshit.
Well, the grand theft auto, they said that the paperwork was filed wrongly, but anyway, I'm not making excuses. I take responsibility. I did what I did at the time.
Honestly, none of that stuff's true.
What's that?
The charges we're talking about, that's not true? None of that stuff's true? Indecent exposure?
No, I did sell my own furniture.
But that's not the indecent exposure, though.
I don't know why you keep talking about that.
Really?
That's pretty awkward, wasn't it? We had that conversation. No, they just threw me in jail for selling my own furniture. Should have gone with that last night. I didn't pull a gun on that driver. I was just selling my own furniture. Man, this dude was good back in the day, wasn't he? He might have been roided to the gills, allegedly. But man, he was fun to watch. And then he wasn't. Get some help, Leonard. Get some help. Rome. Check that. Dear Rome, do you know if that Uber driver offered the police a complimentary bottle of water? Steve in PHX. No, Steve, I was not in that car. I don't know if he did. They often do, but I don't know if they did in that case. Rome, weed, blow, rocks, and Molly. I haven't heard of a drug cocktail like that since Eldrick got behind the wheel. Roland in Pittsburgh.
E-F-G. HIJKLMNOPQRSTUVWXYNZ.
Nailed it. Can I go to Perkins? I'm hungry. Nailed it. In Dykstra's defense, at least he called an Uber. Unlike Eldrick, who tried to drive it home himself.
I like that.
Jumpman. Lenny's story sounds feasible. Yours? Oge claiming that Nicole and Ron killed him.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
Just like that, Oge.
Hypothetical.
Almost. Isn't that weird? Like, these poor people were murdered in cold blood, but it's almost like you died.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
Yeah, but if they were physically dead, and their domes were severed, How could they kill you or almost kill you? They were dead already.
Hypothetical.
Signed, Brendan and the Natty. Wore the Capitals winning the cup and raising the championship banner to hang on James Kelly's forehead.
Cut that meat.
Cut that meat.
Cut that
hang
meat.
That banner.
Cut that meat.
Kelly's forehead is bigger than Montana. Cut that meat.
Cut that meat.
Rome.
Cut that meat.
When you get into the Hall of Fame and you draw a piece of crap list from the box of chaos, how about making Leonard the first name on that list? Phil in Missouri. If he keeps this up, he'd be on the list. He's done some really crappy things to people. All right, so I've got an update on that too. Bob Melvin next hour. Chad Millman next hour. And again, the phone lines are open. We are taking telephone calls. Sorry that I sound like I'm all beaten down. I feel great. I just sound pretty horrible. It's going to get better. Thanks, Albie. Good looking out. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on what you put into anything. For instance, if you want to achieve max performance at work, you put in the extra effort. When you want maximum performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, you put in Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge is the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They are more powerful. They operate at higher pressures than ever before. Higher engine pressure causes significant stress on the oil. Therefore, the oil needs to be strong, and the oil needs to stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology. It helps to reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. The Orban test was in the 5W30 Visgrade. So I'm not just making this up or pulling it out of thin air. If Orban says it's so, then it is so. Put it into your vehicle today. It is in our cars. It really should be in yours, too. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
CBS Sports Network, you can see the graphic. It's slugged. SoCal Squatter Week. And there's a picture of James Kelly's forehead. This is why you should watch CBS Sports Network. Make sure you get it. DirecTV, Dish. We can tell you where else you can find it. Good to see my friends in New York playing along. Experience Control GX from Just for Men. It's the first shampoo of the brain. What makes it so smart? Well, it reduces gray the same way it grows in, gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Just use it until you like what you see. Pretty smart, right? Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo of the brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle. Control GX from Just for Men. It's brilliant shampoo. One more NBA note. So Carmelo Anthony's postseason ended after 6 games. You probably know that. Utah Jazz sent OKC home after the Thunder's super team went 1-and-done. That was not the plan. But just because their season ended prematurely does not mean that Melo is done with his season. Hell, the 14-year vet is playing some of the best defense of his entire career after he got memed on Instagram yesterday when somebody compared his career with Kyle Korver's. The following post went viral yesterday. Quote, who would have thought during the 2003 draft that 15 years down the line, Kyle Korver would be a better NBA player than Carmelo Anthony? End quote. Well, I can tell you one person who wouldn't have thought that Kyle Korver would be a better player than Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony. Because Melo got off that beach chair or wherever he's been spending the postseason, and onto his phone, and he hit that gram post with a response. Actually, not a response, but four. Four responses in the comments. The certified blue check mark account of Mellows replied with the following. Here are the four responses. Wow! With several W's. Crying face emojis. Had to comment on this one. And lastly, F-O-H. As in, get the bleep out of here. You're like, I'm not even sure what's better. The fact that Melo's getting trolled by an Instagram account called All NBA Riddles, or the fact that he's bouncing into the comments section to play the only D that he's played all season long on a meme that has people actually scratching their head and considering the very proposition. I mean, yes, Melo played in 10 All-Star games. Yes, he's been on 6 All-NBA teams. Yes, he's got a scoring title and gold medals in that big old contract that the Knicks could barely give away. But Korver is one of the only reliable wingmen for LeBron, while Melo was an anvil around Russ's ankle this postseason. Korver, he's got 2 postseason runs alongside the King the last couple of years and 125 playoff games under his belt. Melo is a dude where postseason runs go to die. He's played in only 72 playoff games in his career. And the only third round that he has gotten into lately is the tableside chips and guac. Melo, you're 15 years into this thing. You're a future Hall of Famer. You should not be jumping into the comments of a gram post to defend your legacy. But let me give you a tip. If the best D that you're going to play all year long is on social, maybe there's more truth to this than even you want to admit. So no, I'm not making the argument that Kyle Korver has had the career that Melo has had. And I do know that Korver is still playing, while Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz sent Melo to the cabana for some sun after only 6 games. And maybe if you spent more time on the defensive end of the court saying FOH, nobody would be memeing your ass up about it. And that is a bad play, responding to something like that, an account like that. Who cares, Melo? Well, besides you. You just gave them exactly what they wanted. You proved their point for them. Look at a guy's 15 years in on his way to the Hall of Fame with gold medals. Get hooked that badly. Again, if that's the best defense you played all year long, you've proven their point for them. Bad look, Melo. Per always, per usual, very bad look. One thing I have to clear up about the N-R-H-O-F. I will hit that a little bit later on. Hey, Rome. What the hell is Melo doing on Instagram? He should be in the club, allegedly, getting us pregnant. Sincerely, strippers. See, I'm not going cheap like that. I'm not getting cheap like that. I'm just saying. What's this guy doing on Instagram reading that stuff? Hey, listen, if you can't read that stuff and stay down, if you can't read that stuff and not respond, you should not be reading that stuff. That does not go well for you. Because nobody's off the side going, damn, Melo, roasted. Way to go, Melo. Way to handle your business. Way to thumb that out. There's no one anywhere who matters is saying that. Hey, Jim, I can assure you, Carmelo is a better player than Kyle Korver. Signed, Cinnamon. See, all this did, Melo, was give everybody a reason to come at you with their stripper smack. Another reason to leave your phone in sleep mode. Signed, Mike in Buffalo. No sooner than I started the take, they didn't even need to hear the take. No sooner than I started that take, that was the response that started pouring in. Jeremy and Scotty's in on Twitter. How much does Kelly get paid to hang upside down in the middle of Jerry World all winter? Hashtag, ask the pros. Today's not an Ask the Pros day, Jeremy. And we don't get Ask the Pros questions on Twitter. So you fail both ways. Tom Rowley tweets, I hope that Uber driver hit the drop-off button on his phone when he left Dykstra at the police station. Gotta get paid. True. True. He delivered him to a destination. Maybe not Dykstra's destination. I can't imagine that's going to help Dykstra's rating either. How can that guy's rating be anything higher than zero? Is there something lower than zero? If a guy pulls a gun on the driver, is giving it a zero even legit? There's got to be something lower. Very rude. No manners. Zero. Poor etiquette. Zero. When we return, you ready to talk Anthem? Did the NFL get it right? Did the NFL not get it right? Where do you come out? As always, extremely polarizing. I'll give you my thoughts on that when we return. Top of the hour, I've got Bob Melvin, who's the A's manager. Right after that, I've got Chad Millman. Then I've got the week that was. And a few things to wrap this thing up with. I am off tomorrow. I'm off Monday. And then I will be right back in here. Don't go anywhere. Time now for a sports update. Here's the very latest on a busy Thursday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic. Against viscosity breakdown is tested in the Kurt Orban test. In the 5W30 Viz grade, it helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. You know the phrase, elevating the conversation. I'm constantly pushing you to elevate the conversation. This is not an example of that. This is an example of somebody bringing us down. Jeremy in Calgary tweets, pulling a gun on the driver, amateur move. Signed, Tony Stewart. It's not elevating the conversation. It's not smart. It's not funny. You're bringing us down. All right, quick note. Let me clear something up very quickly, and then we'll hit the Anthem topic. I want to mention something before I hit the basement for a four-day weekend. I'm off tomorrow. I'm off Monday. Before I do so, I've been talking about my nomination for the National Radio Hall of Fame and the fact that this time around, you get to vote. All of that's true. But there's still some confusion. Some people are a little confused on one very important thing. The voting has not opened yet. You can't vote yet. You can't vote for me. You can't even vote against me. You can't vote yet. The voting has not opened. We're still over a week away from the polls going live. Trust me, I will keep you posted all the way up to June 4th. June 4th is when the voting takes place. Actually, it takes place over a two-week period. It starts on the 4th. I will not let you forget. You'll know. But if you've been frantically searching the internet for a place to cast a vote, first off, thank you very much. Second off, please stop. Monday, June 4th is the day. Now, what you can do right now, if there's something you want to do right now, you can. You can tell me what you want in return for your vote. Some of you have been extremely gracious and said, Rome, you don't owe us anything. We're going to vote. But some of you have been little less gracious. It said, oh, we'll vote all right. We'll vote, but what's in it for us? And my response is, what do you want? Hit me up. Hit me up between now and next Friday with your demand, your bribe, whatever it is. Hit me up. We will add it to our box of chaos. That's what we're calling it, the box of chaos. And then on Monday, when the voting begins, June 4th, I will randomly draw out five of your demands. Live, on the air. Make good on them if and only if you're able to vote me into the Hall of Fame. So again, no voting yet, but it's coming soon. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Better to be in shape than to get into shape. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. All right, so I know you're looking to vote right now, but the polls are not open. Well, the big topic of the day, the anthem and the NFL. So the NFL announces a new policy on the national anthem. The 6 points of the policy are as follows. Number one, all team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Number two, the game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. Number three, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until after the anthem has been performed. Point four, a club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Number five, each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. And finally, number six, the commissioner will impose appropriate discipline on league personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. So those are your six key points on the new anthem policy. Listen, I understand this is an extremely emotional subject, a polarizing subject. I know people have deep, personal, ingrained feelings about this subject. You know, a lot of you are not going to like what I have to say. But this is where I come out on this. And let me first condense this a little bit. Point being, if you're on the field, you have to stand for the national anthem, or else your team is going to get fined. If you're on the field, you have to stand, or you get fined. Now, you don't have to be on the field. Players can also choose to remain in the locker room during the national anthem. Teams can also develop their own policies to punish players who protest. And it doesn't relate to just players. According to item number six, the commission or commissioner may also be able to discipline individual players depending on the definition of league personnel. So having gotten that out of the way, let's get down to business here because, frankly, this is about business. It's more about business than it is patriotism. Because to me, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense, frankly. It's ill-conceived. It's convoluted. I mean, I'm not even sure where to start. Like, one owner was cited by the Detroit Free Press as saying he believes that raising a fist and linking arms during the playing of the anthem would also constitute disrespect of the anthem. I mean, are you really serious about that? Seriously, linking arms during the national anthem is disrespect to the national anthem. Look, I know that many of you come here to get away from politics. I've done everything in my power, despite having opinions on politics, but I've done everything in my power not to talk politics. But this has been made political. The politics have been brought to my doorstep. Believe me, I would much rather talk about the NBA playoffs or the Stanley Cup final. Hell, I'd rather talk about tapeworms than talk about this. And especially knowing how you feel about what I'm about to say. But the fact is, let's start with the basics here. The protests, this is really important. And this is the way I see this. The protests are not about the national anthem. They've never been about the national anthem. They're not about the flag. They're not about the military. And to me, to claim that they are, it's pretty ignorant. The idea that the players are making a statement that the nation is not living up to the values represented by the flag is somehow disrespectful to the flag is just beyond me because that's not what they're saying. I mean, whose idea was it for Colin Kaepernick to kneel in the first place? Think about how much you resent this guy for doing that. Well, whose idea was that? Where did he get that idea? He got it from a Green Beret. Green Beret, Texas Longhorn, Seattle Seahawk, Nate Boyer. Nate Boyer gave him that idea. It was born out of a conversation that the two of them had. A conversation where Boyer said the first words from Kaepernick were to thank Boyer for his service. So again, to reiterate, this is not about disrespecting the flag or the military. I think a lot of people who claim that that is what that's about are trying to twist it so you don't have to acknowledge or address the real concerns that are being raised by the demonstrations in the first place. Because from the outset, the players have made it pretty clear that their concerns are with social injustice. Their concerns are with police brutality. It hasn't been about the flag. It hasn't been about the military. It hasn't been about the troops or other things that people want to twist it into. It's been about civil rights. It's been about police brutality. The kind of police brutality is an example that we saw in the video released yesterday involving Milwaukee Buck Sterling Brown, who was tasered in a Walgreens parking lot. And again, this is not a comment on the police. It's an extremely difficult job, an extremely challenging job, an extremely dangerous job. But there are concerns, and these athletes are trying to express their concerns. The video coming out the same day, that video came out the same day that the league released its new policy, points out to me how convoluted that policy is, how off it is. Which brings me to my next point, the timing. Colin Kaepernick did not play last season. 8 players knelt in week 2 of last season. No one knelt during the playoffs. The issue pretty much has faded away. And don't get me wrong, the issues that were being protested had not faded away. But the story of the NFL protest had faded away. So why address it now? It's back now. The NFL came up with the policy, and now it's right back in the news again. And it's going to be all summer long, and it's going to be into the season. And now it's going to be an issue every week during the NFL season. And you best believe that players who weren't thinking about protesting right now are probably thinking about doing it again, starting in week 1. Players who were not on the field during the national anthem, even if they went back to use the restroom, are going to be asked why they weren't out there. And then teams are going to be asked what they're going to do to punish those players. And then we'll have some guy on TV this morning saying, quote, you have to stand proudly for the national anthem or you should not be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country, end quote. Should not be in the country. I mean, someone seriously saying or strongly implying that not standing for the national anthem is now grounds for deportation? Is that what you're saying? Listen, making people stand for the national anthem isn't really patriotic. Making people stand for the national anthem isn't American. In fact, if anything, it's un-American. Forced patriotism is the opposite of patriotism. So no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion, or force citizens to confess by word or act their faith therein. Yeah, I'm not that bright. I didn't come up with that myself. That's the Supreme Court in 1943. The fact that we have the right to protest is crucial to what makes America America, right? It's what makes America special. So when confronted with the issues that the players were raising with their protests, the best move would have been for the league to lead, for the league to lead, to work with the players, play a real role in addressing the issues that were being raised in the protests. Or they could have done nothing. Or they could have done nothing because it seemed like the whole thing had just kind of died down and gone away. But they did something. And in trying to placate both sides, they probably made it worse. 1-800-636-8686. Got a busy hour coming up, but if you want to react, go ahead. And the reaction's coming in fast and furious on both sides. This email says, hey, Jim, let me get this straight. As a nation that talks about freedom, like we have exclusive rights to it, we are now mandating that people celebrate and honor that freedom and also telling them how to do it. Is the irony lost on everyone? Do we all need a refresher course in what freedom means? The military disrespect narrative is simply a way to paint people in a negative light while they exercise the very rights that our military fights to defend. This is embarrassing. Signed, Jake in Seattle. War, real freedom. Yeah, again, I'm just saying, in terms of the protest, it's not about the flag. It's not about the military. That's not what that is. That's not what these players are protesting. It's absolutely not about the military. And it's not about the flag. It's about civil rights, perceived injustices. All right, when we come back, I'll have time in hour number 3 to address these things, but I do have some interviews. Bob Melvin, Oakland A's manager, coming up next. Chad Millman, head of media for the Action Network, also coming up next hour. I've got the week that was coming up at the bottom of hour number 3. And I'm trying to carve out some time for some reaction. Telephone number again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to wait and you want to hit me up right now on Twitter, go to @JimRome. If you want to email me directly, go to Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveAtake.com. Third hour is straight ahead. Do not go anywhere.